Imagine testing the airbags in a new car by, well, ripping them out before you actually crash into the wall.
Yeah, that sounds completely absurd.
Right. But up until recently, that is essentially how scientists were testing the strength of some of our most advanced building materials. Welcome to a new deep dive. Today, we're looking at a 2026 structural engineering paper that, frankly, exposes a massive blind spot in how we measure the strength of steel fiber-reinforced concrete.
And that blind spot, it comes directly from how the test samples are prepared, you know? For years, the standard procedure for testing crack resistance involved deliberately sawing a notch into a concrete block.
Just to simulate an existing flaw, right?
Exactly. But this specific concrete gets its strength from a 1% volume of tiny hooked-end steel fibers mixed in. They act as like microscopic bridges across any cracks that form.
So if you're cutting a notch into the block, you're physically slicing right through those crucial steel fibers.
Right, you just cut them right in half.
It's honestly like cutting the rebar out of a concrete highway pillar before you test its load capacity. You're actively destroying the exact safety feature you're, you know, trying to measure.
Yeah, it's wild. But the solution highlighted in this paper is the matrix crack technique. So instead of sawing a notch after the concrete cures, researchers place a thin foam strip into the wet concrete during casting.
Oh, and then they just pull it out later?
Yep. Once it dries, they simply remove the foam. So this leaves a perfect pre-made crack, but all those tiny steel fibers, they remain completely intact.
Crossing the void, just like they would in a real structural failure.
Exactly.
Okay, so now that we can test the material without sabotaging it first, the data reveals a pretty jarring paradox. Because, I mean, common sense suggests a bigger, thicker block of concrete should inherently be, you know, harder to break.
Right, but the data shows the exact opposite.
Wait, really? The bigger it is, the weaker it is?
Yeah, it's known as the negative size effect. When engineers ran semicircular bend tests, which essentially involves snapping a half-moon-shaped block of concrete over two supports.
Okay, I can picture that.
The nominal strength, or the exact amount of load required to initiate a break, it actually decreased as the sample got larger. So for a specimen with a 50-millimeter radius, the strength was around 18 megapascals.
Which is roughly the equivalent pressure of balancing a fully loaded dump truck on a drink coaster, right?
Basically, yeah. It is a massive amount of force. But when they scaled that radius up to 125 millimeters, the nominal strength dropped to just 15 megapascals.
Wow. So the larger sample broke under less relative pressure. Why does that happen?
It comes down to stored strain energy. A larger volume of material stores vastly more energy when it's compressed under a load.
So once a microscopic crack forms, all that pent-up energy just unleashes at once.
Exactly. It drives the crack forward at much lower applied stresses than a smaller block would require.
Okay, but initiating a break is just step one. What happens after the crack starts is where this material is actually supposed to shine, right? We're talking about fracture toughness.
Right, the concrete's actual ability to resist the spread of that crack. And fracture toughness behaves entirely differently than nominal strength.
How so?
Well, as the size of the block increases, the toughness actually goes up, hitting a peak sweet spot around a 75 to 100 millimeter radius before leveling off.
Okay, that makes more sense.
But even more surprising is the impact of the crack's depth. At a 75 millimeter radius, increasing the initial crack depth ratio from 0.2 to 0.5 caused the fracture toughness to spike by like 22.7%.
Wow. That 22.7% jump actually makes sense when you think about the mechanics of failure, though.
Mm.
It's almost like pulling apart Velcro.
That's a great way to put it.
Like with a shallow crack, the applied stress causes those tiny steel fibers to slowly pull out of the surrounding concrete. They just slide out intact.
Mm. Right. It is a gradual ductile failure. But with a deep crack, the geometry concentrates the stress so intensely into the center of those fibers that they don't have the chance to slide out.
So they just hold their ground until the solid steel physically snaps.
Exactly. And snapping solid steel requires a significantly higher peak force than simply sliding it out of cement. That is why the fracture toughness spikes in the data.
Okay, but wait. When that structural threshold is finally crossed, it results in a sudden brittle rupture instead of a gradual yielding, right?
Yes, which is incredibly dangerous in real-world scenarios.
Right. And this is why you, listening to this, should care. Because our structural codes, the safety factors baked into global infrastructure, rely on these exact lab tests.
Exactly. If the industry ignores how test specimen geometry fundamentally alters fiber bridging, changing it from a gradual slide to a brittle snap.
Then the data feeding our structural models is entirely skewed.
Yeah, the behavior of a 50-millimeter lab sample simply cannot be copy-pasted onto a massive load-bearing structure. The math must account for the scale.
Which leaves a rather unsettling thought to sit with, as we wrap up today. If a material as foundational as concrete behaves this radically differently just by scaling up a lab sample, well, how many other advanced building materials in our cities are being modeled using test geometries that completely misrepresent their true breaking points?